I'll be referring to the syndrome as LKS throughout the presentation. We'll place emphasis on the criteria for diagnosis as well as on the factors that contributed to misdiagnosis in the study. As mentioned earlier, I do not have any financial relationships to disclose. So what is LKS? It is a rare childhood disorder that is characterized by loss of response to spoken words and seizures occurring in the speech center. These seizures are thought to disrupt developing language pathways. If the seizures are not controlled effectively, the children may lose the ability to develop functional language forever. Misdiagnosis occurs frequently, and this is really due to overlapping symptoms relative to the language dysfunction. As the syndrome progresses, children lose the ability to communicate effectively. This symptom, of course, is one of the hallmarks for autism. Therefore, their confusion with autism and LKS. The inability to communicate can also be misinterpreted as mental retardation. There is a specific test for diagnosing LKS. The sleep EEG is considered the gold standard of diagnosis. And what you will find on this test is abnormal changes within the speech center. The trick with this is that up to a third of children with LKS do not demonstrate this finding on EEG. So what are we left with? It's important that these children are evaluated by a neurodevelopmentalist who can pick out the subtle differences between LKS and some of these other syndromes that confound the diagnosis. So LKS misdiagnosis is a preventable, under-recognized public health problem that restricts potential for children who are affected. This is because LKS develops between 3 and 7 years old. This time of onset coincides with the language acquisition milestone in child development. Prolonged EEG abnormalities during this time can prevent functional language development even after recovery from seizure. And language is just such an important aspect of interpersonal relation and educational attainment that delaying treatment by misdiagnosing LKS poses the possibility for children to develop poor language, have decreased educational attainment, and also lowered quality of life. So the purpose of my research was to interpret how parents' lived experience influenced the LKS diagnostic process using the medical model as a conceptual framework. 7 women who were members of an online LKS parent support group were recruited for the study, and I conducted semi-structured interviews over a period of 4 months with these women. The women ranged in age from 30 to 60 years. 4 of them lived in rural communities, 2 lived in suburban communities, and there was 1 woman who lived in an urban setting. Their education ranged from secondary up to the postdoctoral level, and they earned between $15,000 a year to $250,000 a year. They worked in the education sector, healthcare, human resources, and the financial sectors. They reported on 6 boys and 1 girl who were between the ages of 5 and 16 years old. Children presented with symptoms between the age of 2 and 5 years old, but they were not diagnosed until that they were between 4 and 10 years old. So this 2 to 5 year delay for diagnosis, of course, is unacceptable because we understand that failing to control seizures poses such a significant risk for decreased quality of life for these children. The motivation for this study stemmed partly from my own experience having a child with LKS and my desire to help to improve the process by adding to the literature, the available literature, with my own research. This relationship, of course, required that I took careful measures to ensure that bias was not introduced into the study. Results of the study showed that communication played a very significant role in how parents experienced the process. As the children developed symptoms, parents turned to their healthcare providers or the school for guidance on where to go. And they found very little help from these communities. They ended up feeling frustrated, alone, and overwhelmed because they were unable to effectively express their concerns to doctors or teachers who were dismissive of the children's symptoms. Communication posed multiple barriers for these parents, and what they ended up doing was turning to the internet for answers and becoming advocates for their children as they coordinated care across the medical boundaries, academic boundaries, as well as social boundaries. Misdiagnosis was prevalent within this in the study. Six of the seven children were misdiagnosed, mainly because of the overlapping symptoms between autism spectrum disorders, mental retardation, and childhood seizure disorders. Some of these symptoms included verbal and auditory issues, such as children stopped combining words, they stopped responding to sound, or they stopped talking altogether. Children also had milestone regressions, which included loss of eye contact, the ability to ride a bike, or they simply stopped playing with their friends. Symptoms that also are seen in autism, in mental retardation, and so many other neurodevelopmental disorders. Some of these children also had epilepsy signs, yet they were misdiagnosed. Some of the signs included staring spells, strange sounds at night during sleep, and there were two children who actually presented with seizures. Over a 6 months to 2 year time frame, the children continued to decline. They lost communication. Some of them were still able to talk, but only using memorized sentences. Before completely losing language, some children developed stuttering. They became frustrated, and this frustration led to aggression and multiple meltdowns. They developed trouble sleeping, trouble focusing because of hyperactivity, and they also began to avoid personal contact. Their academics suffered because of the behavior issues that developed with the syndrome, as well as communication issues, not so much because of cognitive decline. One of the strong point things about LKS is that even though children lose communication abilities and they may seem to not be able to understand or to learn, their cognitive abilities actually remain intact. After seeing multiple specialists and having normal imaging studies and hearing tests, four parents and one teacher began to suspect LKS, and this was before any of the other specialists even thought of this was probably what these children had. I believe that lack of awareness about LKS, as well as the failure to refer to neurologists for an EEG in the absence of overt seizures, was one of the, were maybe the two main points that contributed to laypersons becoming suspicious of the diagnosis before professionals. As children progressed and parents were unable to find answers or to find help anywhere, they became very aggressive in advocating for their children and insisting that their children were seen by neurologists. Once their children received EEGs, sleep EEGs, and the diagnosis was usually made by a neurologist. On the slide here, we have neurologists diagnosing as four. On the Children's Hospital and University Hospital, these children probably saw neurology specialists. However, parents were not able to clearly identify that these were the specialists that the children saw. But the assumption is really that these children did see neurologists as well. And so the assumption is all seven children were diagnosed by neurology subspecialists. One child was diagnosed by return of seizure of language after control of seizures. The other six were diagnosed on the EEG findings alone. This inability of medical providers to diagnose LKS is a worrisome finding because really the consequences of delaying LKS diagnosis, of missing the treatment, are so important for children and for families. And even in the presence of abnormal EEGs, physicians still miss the diagnosis, as we see by the one child that wasn't diagnosed by the EEG, but by the response to treatment. Increased awareness is really needed about LKS and the diagnostic criteria, as well as the symptoms within the medical community, because children depend on prompt diagnosis for language recovery and for improved quality of life. Parents were finally able to relax once the children received their diagnosis and treatment was instituted. What was found in this section was that the institution of steroid treatment added to anti-epileptic therapy provided the greatest response to seizure control, changes in the EEG, as well as behaviors. Lack of awareness then emerged as the greatest barrier to LKS diagnosis. It caused doctors to miss the symptoms, even in children who presented with classic signs of LKS, such as loss of ability to such as loss of response to spoken word and seizures. It caused delay in diagnosis and allowed doctors to blame parents for illness behaviors when they could find no other reasons for diagnosis. There were also socioeconomic contributions to misdiagnosis. Even though finances played very little role in delaying diagnosis, parents still had out-of-pocket expenses. The most important socioeconomic barrier, though, was geographic. The parents who lived in rural communities had to travel long distance for treatment, which sometimes resulted in them sleeping in hospital beds or charitable housing. There were also lack of skilled resources within the communities that were more rural. And parents in the urban or metropolitan areas were actually able to have better access to providers for diagnosis. The contributions to the study are many, mainly that it contributes to the literature by describing the LKS experience from a parent point of view and outlined the importance of early diagnosis and treatment. In summary, LKS is a rare disorder with auditory agnosia or loss of response to spoken words and seizures. It can be confused with autism and other developmental disorders. Early diagnosis and treatment is very important to prognosis and for quality of life. And awareness is very important. It is so important for public health to make efforts to increase awareness among diagnosticians so that we can prevent the devastating consequences of not treating LKS appropriately. I thank you for your time. I don't know how much time I might have left for questions.
Yes, we do have time for questions, so anybody have a question?
It is unknown. The cause is definitely unknown. What if, you know, is it possibly a type of autism? What causes it? No one knows. It simply occurs. There hasn't been a genetic link identified, but the syndrome's only been identified for 70 years.
Only 70.
Yes. There are nonverbal tests that can be done. So when you do testing for IQ testing, there are nonverbal testing and there are verbal testings, and on those nonverbal tests, the children will show normal or near normal cognitive abilities. On the verbal tests, they actually might test in the mentally retarded range.
Yeah,
I think we had one back
there. We'll take you and then we'll take you.
Behavior problems are common because of the frustration being unable to communicate. So all children actually had behavior problems in school. And for a couple of children, parents actually had to go to school and stay at school for certain portions of the day in order to just get the children to remain calm at school. And yes, before diagnosis, without seizure control, behaviors, tantrums are very prominent, and these children will have rage attacks. Yes and no. There is not much research, of course, on prognosis. There may be 3 or 4 studies that have been done on that aspect. But what we do know is that if you begin steroid therapy early, closer to symptom presentation, that you have a greater chance of recovery, of regaining language. Even without treatment, some children recover. With treatment, some children still don't recover. And in this study, the child whose diagnosis was delayed the longest also had less optimized treatment and ended up with more persistent symptoms, inability to learn at school and so on. You're welcome.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.